Hopefully you've got a Bible in front of you, and I would like you to close it. So no, we're going to have a little competition. First person to find this verse in the Bible that I'm going to read out. No cheating now, once all the Bibles closed. The prize for being the first to find this verse is you've got to read it out to everybody, okay? So that might make a difference to whether you want to take part in this or not. And also, no prizes for ripping pages as well. So you get minus points for that. So just be careful as we're turning the pages in the Bible. So all the Bibles closed. Okay, so the first one to find and then read out. When you found it, put your hand up and I'll come and see you. John chapter 20, verse 31. Oh, we've got someone here. Okay. Loud voice, Jan, please. Okay, we'll wait till everyone's got it, and then you can read it out. So Jan was the first.
But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name.
Thank you very much. Right, so we've got it in front of us. John 20, verse 31. Two reasons why John wrote his book. Reason number one, so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah or the Christ, the Son of God. So Messiah or Christ means King. And it's referring to the King that God promised would come and rescue his people and would rule the world forever and ever. That's who we're talking about when we talk about the Christ, the Messiah. And he's also the Son of God, which is a title for the Messiah in the Bible. So what John is telling us here is that Jesus is the King. So he repeats it. He's the Christ, he's the Son of God, the King. And I've written this so that you might believe in him. So that's the first reason John wrote his book, to show us that Jesus is the King who rescues his people. And the second is that by believing him, you may have life. Do you see that? That by believing him, we may have life. John mentions life a lot in his book. I counted 36 times, I think. You can count up all the times and correct me if I'm wrong, but 36 times at least. And he wants us to know that if we trust in Jesus, then we can be God's friends and live with him forever. That's news we should want to hear. That we can have life. We trust in Jesus to rescue us from our sins. We can know God and have life with him forever. So that's brilliant. So John's book's going to help anyone who isn't a Christian or who isn't sure they're a Christian. It's going to help them to get information on Jesus. And it's going to help all those who are Christians to rediscover how amazing Jesus is and to get to know him better and to understand more what it means to have life in him and to live for him. So that's a brilliant thing we're going to do, isn't it? Read John's book together. Let's pray that God will help us. Dear Lord God, please help us in these next few weeks as we read John's book to understand it. Help us to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, your Son, that he is the King, so that we can have life through him. And we do pray this in his name. Amen.
The Bible reading is from John 1:1-14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
And we've seen already that John's gospel is all about Jesus. And it starts with Jesus. And who can tell me what John calls Jesus in these first verses? What does he call Jesus? A really important word for us this morning. A word that begins with W. Yet? The Word. Thank you. Yeah, he calls him the Word. It's a really, really important title. Words are ways in which we express ourselves. It's the way we reveal who we are. It's the way we reveal what we're like to other people. That's how you get to know me, is through my words, when I reveal to you what's on my mind, what's on my heart. Jesus is the Word, we're told here. He is God's Word. He is God's ultimate way of expressing himself. God's supreme way of expressing himself, what he's like, what's on his mind, what's on his heart. God's number one way of revealing what he's like. So, these first few verses of John's Gospel introduce us to this person who is the Word. They tell us who he is, and they tell us where he came from. So we're going to read the first four verses out loud together. I know we've done the first two verses. We're going to do it differently this time. We're going to replace the words, the Word, and the words he and him, with another word, and that word is Jesus. So, whenever you see the word, the Word, or the words, the Word, and the words he or him, change those to Jesus. Shall we have a go at that? So, the first four verses. So, together we say, in the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. Jesus was with God in the beginning. Through Jesus, all things were made. Without Jesus, nothing was made that has been made. In Jesus was life, and that life was the light of men. So right at the beginning of John's book, we're learning some amazing, awesome facts about Jesus, aren't we? Number one, Jesus is God. Do you see that? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What an extraordinary thing to say about this man Jesus, that he is God. And that's the truth. The truth that the Bible declares to us. Jesus is God. He shares God's nature in full. He's fully man, but not just that. He is also fully God. That's what the Bible teaches. That's what Christians believe and always have believed. So he's not just a man. He's not just a great man. He's not just a great and wonderful teacher. He's much more than that. He is God. And that marks him and Christianity apart from every other world religion and belief system. So take some other religions, for instance, and their founders. Take Islam, founded by Muhammad. Muhammad was just a man. Take Buddhism. Buddha was just a man. Jesus was not just a man. Jesus was and is God. And he still is that today. He is Almighty God. And the things that he did while he was on earth, the things that we read about in John's book, reveal him to be God. He does things that only God, only Almighty God can do. So Jesus is God. Number one, awesome fact about Jesus. Number two, Jesus is eternal. Do you see that? He was with God in the beginning. So he's always been around, Jesus. There's never been a time when he did not exist. His life did not start the day that he was born in Bethlehem. He existed before then, long before then, long, long, long before then. Jesus was alive not only when the world was created, but before the world was created. He's always been around and he always will be. Wow. Amazing fact number three about Jesus. Jesus is the creator of everything. Verse 3, through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. So Jesus created all the big things. He created the galaxies. He created the stars. He created the sun. He created the moon. He made the mountains. He made the sea. And he made everything in this world. The trees, the plants, and all the animals. He made the tiny things as well. All those little tiny atoms and all the DNA that makes up your body. He made everything. He made you. He is the author of life. He's the author of all physical life. But that's not all. He's also the bringer of spiritual life too. Amazing fact number four. In verse four, Jesus is the life giver. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. John mentions life and light, and we'll think about that next week, but he mentions life a lot in his book. I think I've already said maybe 36 times. And the life that he's talking about is spiritual life, life with God. And that's the most important kind of life, life with God. It's the life that we all need. It's the life that we lost right at the beginning when Adam and Eve, our first parents, rebelled against God. And they lost that life with God because of their rebellion, because of their sin. And they weren't able to know God anymore. They weren't able to be with him. But Jesus has come to make it possible for us to know God and to live with him, to have that life, to get that life back. And as we read John's book, we see that he died and he rose again to give us that life, to bring us back into this living friendship with God that begins now when we trust in Jesus and lasts for all eternity. Jesus is the life giver. John wants us to understand that trusting Jesus is the only way that we can have eternal life with God. There's no other way, just through Jesus. So here we have four amazing facts about Jesus. He's God, he's eternal, he's the creator of everything, and he is the eternal life giver. What does that mean? Well, here's three things that means, I think. First, Jesus is truly awesome. Awesome is a word I think we overuse, and therefore loses some of its impact. But I really couldn't think of another word to use. Jesus is truly awesome. He is incredibly great. These verses should make us realize the greatness of Jesus. One year at Sunday school, I used to attend a Sunday school. When my parents first became Christians, we lived in Chorley in Lancashire. And I remember being dragged along to church and Sunday school. Didn't like it much, I have to admit. But I did go. And so I got a prize at Sunday school prize giving for my attendance, which was forced attendance, but I got a prize. And it was a book. And I can remember the book to this day. And I can remember particularly what was on the inside of the book. It was this little label that said to Paul, lots of love from St. John's Sunday School. But it was a picture, this label, of Jesus. And I couldn't find the exact picture, but there's a picture like it that's going to come up on the screen. It's very similar to the picture in my Bible, in my book that was given. So if we can have that up, Jack, please, that would be a help. And you've maybe seen pictures of Jesus like this. I couldn't get it any bigger than that, but there's Jesus. It's a bit like that. It was Jesus with loads of animals around him. And Jesus was wearing this kind of blue and white dress, and in the picture that I had, he had long, wavy, not as dark a hair as that, it was a lot lighter, but he was holding a lamb in his arms, and there was loads of birds around him. I think there was a dove on his shoulder, and it just reminded me at the time, I'd just seen Snow White, and it's Snow White, it's the Snow White picture of Jesus, and that's the picture that I was given growing up. And it was with me for a significant period of time. And I think that's the mental image that lots of people carry around of Jesus, sadly. The gentle Jesus, meek and mild. Jesus was meek, he was humble. But he certainly wasn't mild, and he wasn't weak, and he wasn't effeminate. He was a true man. And he is absolutely awesome when we read these verses. The Word who is with God and was God and is God today. And maybe you've got that kind of view of Jesus in your mind. I don't know. But I think as we read these verses, all of us need to upgrade our view of Jesus. Our thoughts of Jesus can never be too big. Never. Because he is infinitely big. He is overwhelmingly awesome. Second thing that these verses tell us is that Jesus is truly loving. Jesus is truly loving. We see this as we start to read through this gospel. When we realize how great Jesus is, it just makes his love for us stand out even more. Once we grasp how powerful he is, how big he is, that's when we start to appreciate just how big his love for us is. That this great, magnificent God would become small, would become flesh. John later says in this passage, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. This God who created the world should come and make himself small. For him to do that, he must care for us a great deal, mustn't he? And that the author of life should then come and willingly die in our place. The author of life coming and dying in our place, that he should do that. He must really, really love us, mustn't he? And when we see how great Jesus is, we will realize just what a huge step down he took in becoming human to save us. And the greatest truth then in the whole universe will hopefully start to dawn on us. And it's this: I am loved by the master of the universe. You are loved by the master of the universe. Jesus is truly awesome. Jesus is truly loving. Third, Jesus is truly knowable. Jesus is knowable. You can know him. I don't know, if you're older, like me, you might remember the Mercury TV advert of a few years back. The strapline was, who would you most like to have a one-to-one with? Our mobile phone service gets people talking. And there was the mobile phones when they were about that big. I don't know if you remember it, but Chris Evans starred in one of the adverts, and he said, the person that I would most like to have a one-to-one with, a chat with, to get to know is, he said, the main man. And he's referring to John Lennon. And that's the illustration that this company used. And they also had Ian Wright, the footballer, on, and Martin Luther King was the one he wanted to have a one-to-one with. But I remember Chris Evans saying, I'd just love to get inside John Lennon's head and find out what he thinks and what makes him tick or made him tick. Who would you most like to have a one-to-one with? Who would you most like to spend time with? Who would you most like to talk to? Maybe someone like this. Thank you, Jack. Next picture, Jack, please. Good lad. Thank you. A famous sports star like Roger Federer. I love Federer. I was so gutted that he didn't win a few weeks ago. But maybe you'd love to have a one-to-one, spend some time with a famous sports person, or maybe a famous singer, pop star. Anyone over 50, tell me who that is. Over 50. Ooh. Anyone over 40 could tell me who that... Taylor Swift. It's Taylor Swift, who I am reliably informed is the kind of big thing in music at the minute, particularly if you're a teeny bopper. Do you still use that word, teeny bopper? No. Oh dear. But maybe you would like to have a one-to-one with a famous singer like that, these big celebrities. I think if I was to choose a singer, it would be Elvis for me. I'd like to have a chat with Elvis. Or perhaps a ruler, a famous ruler, like the Queen. Who would like to have a day with the Queen? Have a one-to-one with the Queen? Have a chat with the Queen? I think lots of people would. But, I mean, we do put these people high up on our pedestals, don't we? And we do tend to idolize them and worship them. And we think it'd be great to spend some time with them, to chat with them. But all these people pale into tiny, 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 tiny insignificance compared to the Lord Jesus Christ. They're absolutely nothing compared to him. He is the most amazing person ever, and the wonderful truth of the gospel is that we can know him. We can. It's extraordinary, isn't it? We can know him. Christianity is all about having a one-to-one with Jesus Christ. You and I can know Almighty God. Just try and let that sink in a minute. You and I can know Almighty God. You and I can be friends with the one who is older than time and greater than death. How about that? We can hang out with the person who made the stars, who made all the planets. We can listen to, and we can talk to, the Word, to Jesus, to God. And we can live with the eternal life giver. And we can do all this today, and we can do it forever. Who said Christianity's boring? Yeah, you often hear that, don't you? That's ridiculous. How can this be boring? Who says being a Christian is dull? Who says Christianity is a waste of time? How can it be? A relationship with God through Jesus Christ is the one thing that lasts forever. How can that be irrelevant? How can that be a waste of time? Well, perhaps you're not a Christian. And I want to simply encourage you to look at these verses and what they say about Jesus and say, do you see what you're missing out on? You're missing out on life, real life, eternal life, an eternal relationship with the true and living God. Don't miss out on that. Get to know God. Get to know him today by putting your trust in Jesus. If you are a Christian, then it's good to be reminded, isn't it, how awesome Jesus is, how great he is. I think we need to be reminded regularly because we just take it for granted. Don't forget. Don't forget what a mind-boggling privilege it is to belong to Jesus, to know him and to know the Father through him. And that's an encouragement to us to stick with him today and this week and always, and to make time each and every day to spend time with him and to get to know him better and love him more and serve him more faithfully. So God has spoken. God has spoken to us in Jesus. Jesus is this word from God, and this is what God is saying through the word, and we see this as we read through John's book. This is the word from God. He says, I am real. You can know me. Your sins can be forgiven. You can have life with me forever. You hear that word? God says, I am real. You can know me. You can have all your sins forgiven. And you can have life with me for all eternity. What a word that is. What a wonderful word. Eternal God and Father, we thank you so much for sending the Word, your Son Jesus Christ, into the world to reveal yourself and to bring us life. Thank you so much that Jesus is fully God and fully man. He is eternal God, the creator of everything, the giver of eternal life, And we are so sorry for having too small a view and opinion of your son, Jesus. We're sorry for only giving him a small part of our life. Please forgive us. Please help us to see his greatness more clearly, and therefore his big, big, big love for us, so that we have a bigger love for him, and it becomes our joy to listen to him and obey him daily, to serve him, our majesty. And we pray this in his name. Amen.